of his righteousness, the wonders of his love, the wonders of his love, the wonders, wonders of his love.
I don't know whether you are aware, but obviously this is the last day of Advent, because tomorrow we welcome the light of the world, Christ himself. And so all the way through Advent, each Sunday of Advent, we have been lighting our Advent crown, and we're going to light four of the candles, because that's what we are up to. And when I've lit them, I hope... I think we're running out of gas here. I might have to pick one of the candles off. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Oh.
Hi,
David, lifesaver, please help me. I need the light of the world. It's all right. While the candles are lit... Just a reminder, first candle was representing the patriarchs, those who are part of God's wider plan, I suppose, over the centuries, and all part of God's longer-term plan for salvation. The second candle, which we lit, were representing the prophets who foretold that a Messiah was going to come, God's anointed one, God's promised one. The third candle represents Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her faith and her trust in carrying the Christ child. And then this fourth candle representing John the Baptist, the prophet who preached and baptized to prepare for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus himself. And of course, tomorrow we will virtually light the fifth one. If you have been following on your own, then you can light your own at home. But Jesus comes as the light of the world. But our prayer for today, let's pray. God, our Father, you gave to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age a son called John. He grew up strong in spirit, prepared the people for the coming of the Lord, and baptized them in the Jordan, symbolizing their sins being washed away. Help us to be ready to welcome Christ into our hearts and to grow strong in faith by the power of the Spirit. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the light who is coming into the world. Amen. We're now going to sing another carol, Silent Night.
Thank you. I'm often asked, what does Christmas mean to you? Well, I mean, for me, it means different things because when I was a child, I was born in India, we were separated. The family were all over the country. And Christmas to me as a kid meant I'm going to see my aunts and uncles, my favorite cousins. And of course, we got gifts. But that Christmas was strictly once a year. I've got a feeling now that Christmas should be part of our life all the time because it represents something very special. In the mid-60s, I got very interested in spirituality. That's the time I became a Christian. And what I recognized was that the miracle of birth still fascinates us. Just a baby being born is an absolute miracle. Jesus' birth was a stupendous miracle that somebody that was a spiritual, divine creature became like one of us. So for me now, Christmas is every day of the year. Every time I pray, I think of Jesus, I think of God. Easter's also important, but I always find it difficult to feel triumphant because he died. And I know he had to die for us, but for me, still today, Christmas is now an everyday part of my life. And so it gives me great pleasure to wish you all a very, very happy Christmas and let it last all the year round.
Reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, of the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Frosty wind. Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Angels and archangels may have gathered there.
And today I would like to read to you Luke chapter 2 verses 8 to 14. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. I bring good news that will bring joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in stripped clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast of others, the armies of heaven, praising the Lord and saying, "Glory to the God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with God, with whom God is pleased." Now, that verse tells us, this verse tells us that Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem. It's kind of a good verse for me because it helps. Because I do believe in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. He will always be in our hearts, everywhere we go. Now, remember, find this verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight through.
Luke chapter 2, 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord Father in heaven, holy baby in Bethlehem, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus our Saviour, we thank you and praise you because you came to us in this humble way to redeem us and point us in the direction of heaven. Your love endures forever. O Lord, our world is in the middle of a pandemic. We cannot be sure where it has come from, where it is going, or how long it will last. There is much confusion and speculation. We ask you for help, Lord. Please bring comfort to those who are bereaved, who are shielding, lonely, or frightened. We ask for your help. And for those who have lost their livelihoods and are separated from their families, please help us. For some people in this world, though, this experience of separation and loneliness is nothing new. I would like to lift up to you now, in particular, Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, who has been imprisoned and separated from her husband and daughter for 5 years. I pray for her and others like her who have been treated so unjustly and ask that you will soften the hearts of the authorities, that she will soon be released. I pray too for the many refugees who have fled from their homes and families, risking their lives. Please have mercy on them and save them. Lord, make us kind and generous. Give us loving hearts filled with compassion for these needy people. Tonight, we also pray for the long-distance lorry drivers still trying to get home to their families for Christmas. I feel sad about the deplorable way that they have been treated. For some, they may not be paid if their perishable cargoes are destroyed. I pray that you will be with these people in their anger and distress. Comfort them and bring them peace. Finally, let us pray for each other now, especially our young children who are so excited about tomorrow. Lord, sometimes it's hard to know how to pray, but your eternal love gives us hope, and we can pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us, which we could pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we also forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So, what does Christmas mean to me? I'd like to go all the way back to when I was 8 years of age and I was sent away to boarding school. And it was tough. Those years at boarding school were very, very tough. There was not much joy. The greatest joy we ever had was when it was time to go home for the holidays. But there was no better holiday for us than Christmas holidays. Because in the dormitories at school, we were allowed, very special privilege, to put up Christmas decorations. So from the age of 8, for many, many years, Christmas meant for me celebration, joy at the end of that particular term, colourful decorations and going home to Mum and Dad, where we'd all have presents and turkey and wonderful family time. And then as I grew older, I became a Christian, very late in life actually, when I was 40. And I learned the meaning, the true meaning of Christmas. And I was filled with joy, but it was a different joy. It was the realization that that little baby, God, being born as a human being, was born for a reason. to save us, to save us ordinary people, and to give us a chance of a new life with him. That was real joy. That was saving joy. That was mature joy. And I think that was the joy that the three wise men felt when they saw him. So with joy in my heart, happy Christmas.
Christmas 2020. Whoopee. No, nothing changes, does it? Christmas 2020. Christmas 2020. Well, if you're online, you'll just know that there should be a PowerPoint now. But this is sums up my year, actually, doesn't it, really, in lots of ways? Can we restart, please? But either way, this is not what we were expecting or wanting, is it? Disrupted plans, separation from families, all sorts of restrictions and frustrations, all working, unfortunately, to make this a Christmas perhaps we will remember forever in our lifetime, but perhaps for the wrong reasons. That's not what we're after, is it? Are we there? Yeah, here we go. I don't know, your Christmas tree's got one of those on, but that's about sums it up, doesn't it? But, do you know, I don't know whether you noticed, but that might explain why so many people put up their decorations in the middle of November this year. Are you one of those guilty parties? Thank you for your honesty, my friend. Brilliant. Well, to be quite honest, why not? Why not? We needed something to cheer us up. And I'm sure that was probably partly why people did that. Because, well, they needed something to cheer the spirit. And I understand that. So no problem, no guilt. All right. But, you know, when you start thinking about disruptive plans and separation from families, government restrictions and guidelines, they were all around at the first Christmas. I don't know whether you realize that. First century Palestine, it was there. As we heard in the readings earlier from Luke's Gospel, everyone was forced at this particular point to travel back to their hometowns due to the Roman census, which had been enforced. And that forced Joseph and his very pregnant wife, Mary, to travel back to Bethlehem to register. And this forced them, of course, to be separated from family for the birth of the baby. So their plans were disrupted too. I'm sure they would have loved to have preferred to stay in Nazareth and have it all with family and friends around. But they couldn't due to government restrictions and orders. All sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Yet God was in it all. God was in it all. So what we've been singing about, or humming, as the case may be, and considering this evening, is very relevant to life in the 21st century. And a COVID-19 frustrated Christmas celebration at that. And at the heart of it all, we're having to face, all that we face, God is in it all. I want to assure you of that. But, you know, looking beyond Christmas, this last year has been blighted by this virus, coronavirus, which I'm sure you'd agree we're all thoroughly fed up of now. It's okay, the joke's over. Can we get back to some sort of normality now? Well, perhaps 2021 might bring that, vaccine and other things permitting. But hopefully that will be a new day and we'll be overcoming this C19 thing as it dominates and has dominated our lives. Now, we've heard this evening from Sir Cliff and Sir David. Interesting, both sirs, isn't it? But sharing about what Christmas means to them. But my question is, how would you answer that question, I wonder? How would you answer that question? What does Christmas mean to you? I suppose the meaning of this Christmas may be very different from what it meant last year in 2019. I expect for many of us, living through 2020 has changed our view, not only of Christmas, but probably many other aspects of life as well. Perhaps the fragility and the transience of life has really hit home to you more and more. Perhaps your values and your priorities have been shifted from what they were, like the importance of family. And priorities have shifted, and having employment or an income, or even an increased respect for the incredible people who serve and work within the NHS and other care industries and sectors. But whatever this year has done for you, we can't ignore the fact that life has changed for all of us. Yeah? And on this night, this eve of Christmas, I think that's a very pertinent note to strike. That Christmas and all it stands for and means should take on a whole new perspective and importance, just as the virus has changed our lives this last year. May Christmas this year change our lives too. One thing that hasn't changed throughout this year is the coming and the going of human life. Unfortunately, due to COVID, though, We've seen nearly 70,000 people lose their lives as a direct result of this virus. Very sad. And our hearts, of course, go out to families of all those who've lost loved ones or have suffered in some way throughout this year. But you know, what hasn't been in the news is thinking about those birthdays and those who have been born this year. Lots of births. They're still catching up, I gather, in the registry of births because of the restrictions. They weren't at work. But for the first three quarters, from January to September, 437 babies were born in England and Wales. Isn't that amazing? So even in the midst of dark and the loss of life, dark times and loss, even beyond COVID, new life begins and can begin. In fact, when you think about it, birth and death are two key moments for every human being, aren't they? Even though we don't like to focus on the latter quite as much, of course, understandably, whether our own and our own mortality or that of even of a loved one. But interestingly, the nativity story has both intertwined in the narrative. I don't know whether you've noticed that. Usually we just want to focus on the birth. But birth and death are present. First, of course, the extraordinary birth, and quite rightly, that is the focus of this God child to a virgin. One was one of the most incredible events in the whole of human history, so much so that we still remember it even today. But in the accounts of Jesus' birth, death was around too, in the form of the evil and jealous Roman king at the time, King Herod, who, stirred by the news that a new king was born, felt very threatened and therefore ordered the killing of all baby boys under two. Such a selfish, cruel, and mindless act. So we need to see the birth of Jesus right into the heart of that darkness. What would have that been like? But also, this Christmas story is not only a celebration of the birth of a baby Jesus, where many people leave him, but it also hails his death as well. The purpose, in fact, of his coming. And this was specified very specifically by one of the gifts which the Magi, the wise men, brought to the baby Jesus. And one of them being myrrh. Whoops, we're a bit behind here, aren't we? Sorry about this. Okay. Myrrh, which is a spice which is used for embalming. Embalming of dead bodies, of course, and therefore foretelling Jesus' suffering and significant death, confirming prophetic statements which were made way many hundreds of years before in the Old Testament. So even though we don't want to associate birth and death so closely, the birth of Jesus can't be separated from his death. Some 33 years later. But why is that? Why do we need to keep the two together? Why was this birth and this death so important above all others that we remember both his birthday and his death day across the world? Even now in the 21st century, they're still remembered. Why? Both at Christmas and, of course, at Easter, respectively. It's because Jesus was not only God incarnate, but he turned the human experience of life and death on its head, completely upside down, turning death into life. Now, quite rightly, we celebrate birthdays each year. We tend to get a little bit forgetful the older we get because we don't really want to remember how old we are. Is that all right? Maybe. Because what we want to do when we celebrate and have a birthday is that we are celebrating life and, of course, the value of a person as an individual, whether the brand new life of a baby, of course, or another year for those who are just a little bit older. But both is a celebration of life and our relationships together and the opportunities that being alive bring and offer to us. However, when it comes to death, we handle it very differently and rightly and understandably. Because we're filled with grief and we're filled with pain as we recognize the loss of someone important and precious to us. Or even, for some of us, we're overwhelmed, perhaps even with a fear about our own destiny and our own mortality. Because humanly speaking, death is an unknown. Where we're not going to see people again. It's more of an end. It's final and it's dark and without hope for many. And you're probably thinking, but this is not Christmas message, Mark. Hey, it is. It is. Because this is where Jesus turns it completely on its head. Through his birth and his death, new life is birthed. You know, we need to recognize what Christ did. Where God incarnate broke free from human restriction. And wouldn't we like to be able to do some of that this Christmas? But he didn't stay dead. Death could not hold him. He rose again, breaking the power and the hold which death had on him. And he then offered that to all humanity. And that offer is still there today for us. Light and hope and love. That's what he brings. A new opportunity for a fresh start. To try again with him. And to start again and to know his love, holding us and directing us and bringing life in its fullness. Therefore, as we place our trust and our faith in God, and of course in Jesus, that which can so easily be the end of life as we know it in death becomes the beginning of something much bigger. That which could be filled with despair, and for many people it is, but what it does in Christ is it becomes a door of hope. The limitations of human experience without God are taken away to usher in a whole new way of being. Yes, we will still die physically. Our bodies break down. It comes to an end. But there's another level of life beyond this world, which we have to look forward to if we are in Christ. And that whole paradox of death and life and dying to live was expressed by Jesus in many different ways, in parables and other things. But in some of the words which he spoke, he says in Luke 9, verse 24, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. How strange. We try and hang on to life, physical life, because we think that's the purpose of why we exist. No, it's not. Our existence is much deeper, much broader, and much more spiritual, of a spiritual nature. And that's what God wants us to recognize and to learn. And that is at the heart of Christmas. Jesus, his birth, his life, and his death can so easily become buried in the plethora of turkey and tinsel. and all the other celebrations which come with Christmas. Yet what he brought to this world has changed our eternity. It's not just for the now, it is for the future. But it is also for the now as well as for the future. He came to bring love. He came to bring forgiveness and purpose to the now. We can now be free from our sin and that terminal end that death looms upon people's lives if they haven't got that relationship with God. And we can enter and enjoy and experience a new life, a new way of being that can start here and now, here on earth. But of course carries us beyond this world and this earth, right through into eternity. So whenever loved ones and people pass from this world as believers, they're being set free to be as God has called them to be. That's hard for us who are left. But that's what God has chosen for each and every one, that we then might be with him for eternity. Hallelujah! And this is the heart of Christmas. This is the wonder, even, of the little baby in a manger. Because it's so much bigger than a little picture postcard and a Christmas card. And giving each other presents. There's a bigger, bigger present which Christ has brought to us. So going back to the question which was asked of Sir Cliff and Sir David, what does Christmas mean to me? I would answer, Christmas to me is all about new birth. It's about love. It's about acceptance. It's about a fresh start and an eternal hope. Even in the midst of death. Or even in a virus pandemic. There is hope and there is a way forward. And it's much bigger than the limitations we put upon life. It's found in Christ and in Christ alone. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. But is he with you? Right now, this Christmas. On the eve of this wonderful day, which we're going to be celebrating tomorrow, we can choose to follow him. We can choose to enter in to this new life which he offers to us. So where are you? If you want to know more, then make yourself known at the end. If you are here and you want to ask those questions, we're not allowed to gather too long. But we can talk briefly. And or drop me an email. Or pick up one of my cards which are on the table if you want. Which has got details on it. But please, let's give God a chance to turn things round. Life for death. Amen? Amen. We're going to stand to sing our final carol if we could. You're not to sing, but you can hum. But we can do it while we're standing. Hark the herald. Angels sing. Thank you, Ali.
Sea man, God has seen this wreck.
Let's pray, shall we, as we draw our service to a close. Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful season and for all that Christmas means to so many. But Lord, as this year has been turned upside down for all of us due to the pandemic, may we allow you to turn us upside down spiritually too, to see the wonder of why you came, to know the full depth and the breadth of the gift of salvation and the new life that you so freely have given to us through Jesus, the Christ child who was born, that we may know you and your life afresh, both today, tomorrow, and throughout the rest of our lives, and then on into eternity. Lord, have your way in us, we ask. And so let us receive that blessing of God. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for coming. Those of you in person, those of you online, thank you for joining us. It's been brilliant. And have yourselves truly a blessed and full Christmas. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.